SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Very busy show tonight. Of course, it is a football show. We got lots of football to talk about. NFL Week 2 completely in the books. We start to turn the page towards NFL Week number 3. We got a lot of baseball tonight because Joe's not here. So we got a lot of baseball tonight because now, see, last week we came on and I said to George, there's only 2 weeks left in the season. And George was like, can you calm down? There's three. All right, relax. There's 3 weeks left in the season. Now I can actually say there's less than 2 weeks left in the MLB regular season. And down the stretch we come. There's lots of stuff that is still very much up for grabs and some interesting games tonight that we have to keep our eye on. So we will do that as well. Mike Carver with you. Sans Joe. Of course, on a Tuesday night, as this week, I thought Joe would go after Napier again, but I know he went after him a few weeks ago, pretty gutless effort by the Gators against Texas A&M on Saturday. It appears that Brian Kelly is in his sights this week. So he's actually been after Kelly, too, when they lost to USC opening. So Kelly and Napier have really been on the go-for-the-two hit list here over the first couple of weeks. So we'll hopefully see if Joe can figure that all out. And he'll be back with us tomorrow night here on CNL. So if Joe's not here, that means Gentleman George is. George Kurtz is with us as per usual on a Tuesday as we have a lot of baseball and a lot of NFL to get to. Hi, George. How are you?
Doing well, right? You mentioned week two's in the books. As a Cowboy fan, week two is pretty much in the books about 2:30 p.m. on Sunday
don't
afternoon.
Don't worry, George.
That was atrocious.
I'm going to remind you of it today. Don't worry. We're going to remind you of Sunday.
Yeah. Listen, if you're gonna lose big. And I had money on New Orleans. I thought Dallas would win the game. All right, but I thought New Orleans would cover. I thought 6.5 was a little too much there. I did not see, or I did not get the doubt Cowboys going to get their doors blown off. But it was a weekend of upsets. There was a lot of upsets here, and I'll be the first person to tell you, by the way, Mike, I'd rather lose the way Dallas did than the way Philadelphia did last night. Because Dallas lost.
Yeah,
it's over. I moved on.
We will absolutely, George. We're going to go over a lot of these big things from this past weekend, including last night. You talk about getting out coached. I mean, look, it's hard, George, with the Sirianni thing, because as much as we want to sit here and smash him, that it's so easy to just run the ball. And I thought that, too. He's got all I did was hear for an hour and a half from Kelsey there with Bucket Aikman about how the tush-push and the center and all. I mean, Kelsey basically, it was an Eagle broadcast on ESPN on Monday night. They could have ran that tush-push twice on third and fourth down and picked up the first down and been done with it. They would have never even saw the ball again, Atlanta. But still, George, just catch the ball. Barkley, you just got to catch the ball. And it's a mute point. Like, it's hard. It's so easy to take whacks at Sirianni. But man, it in hindsight, George, it was a brilliant call. You just needed your player to execute it. They actually had it because everybody thinks they're always going to go up the middle with that play. And they called a nice play. But unfortunately for them, it all blew up in their face against Matthias's Falcons last night. Very unfortunate.
But isn't that also why you don't do that? Because there is the human element of it.
Yes.
They could make an error. And Barkley, listen, I guess Barkley's used to losing in Philadelphia, right? Thank you.
Not wrong, George. You're not wrong about that. He's very,
someone
very
posted that on Twitter, by the way. That's not, I got to give credit. That wasn't something I came up with, but I thought it was very funny how he's used to losing in Philadelphia. So he drops the ball. But that's also part, because you're absolutely right. Barkley catches the ball. We're not talking about this. We're probably saying what a brilliant call it was. No one's expecting it, but instead he did drop the ball. But that's also part of the gamble that he might well, you might get a penalty. You might do this. You might do that. You know, anything like that could happen here. Personally, I would have run the ball. You know, well, even if you didn't get the first, by the way. By the way, the tush push would have got you the first two, first down also. We do it on third and fourth down. They couldn't stop. They weren't even coming close to stopping that.
But that they would have got it was 3 yards, right, George? They would have got 3 yards and two tush pushes. There's no doubt in my mind they would have got 3 yards. 3 yards in. They probably could have got it in one. They would have definitely got in two. What we've had left, George, maybe a half a yard, which is what they always use it for anyway, in that spot. So, look, there's obviously some bad coaching. And I'll tell you this, too. And I know Gabe's been on this, and I've been on it also. Sirianni, I know he got a lot of credit for some of the stuff that when I'm going to the Super Bowl and whatnot. He has not been the same coach since he lost Steichen and Gannon. When Steichen and Gannon went out the door, a lot of things changed in Philadelphia on both sides of the ball, George. And so, sometimes we make too big a deal about the coordinators, but I think in this aspect, those guys leaving, what is it now, a year and a half ago, was a very big deal because the Eagles have not been the same since Gannon and Steichen both got jobs after that Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It fell apart. I mean, they were 10-1 last year. They looked like world beaters, right? And then was a big dog after that little fracas against San Fran, and everything fell apart again.
He loves the TV,
too. It made no
sense. Oh, he loves the camera, that big Dom. How many times they show him last night? Oh, they wouldn't stop. I mean, they almost showed him. Nobody was shown more than Kelsey. We know that. Kelsey, basically, he was the star of the show in that Eagle. Imagine being a Falcon fan. Like, I know Matias was working. He was doing the show with Gabe, so he probably couldn't actually listen to it. But imagine being a Falcon fan watching that broadcast last night, George. I mean, honestly, with all the Eagle nonsense and propaganda and hoopla that was going on in that game, national broadcast, George. National broadcast. It was basically Eagle Central for the entire night, which was a little bit too much to take. So we will do a lot of NFL here tonight, me and George getting it going. But we have a lot of important baseball games too, George. Orioles down 4-0 at home to the Giants. They have not touched Blake Snell so far tonight, who has pitched very well. They are 3 games back of the Yankees, who play tonight in Seattle late night. Me and you were saying before the show, this is the latest in the season I can ever remember the Yankees making one of these dreaded West Coast trips, which they usually do not play well on. Seattle's better than the other stops. Oakland and Anaheim are usually real house of horrors, but at least in Seattle, they win once in a while, George. Not like the other places.
Yeah, it's even when the Yankees were great, you go back to the 90s Yankees, Oakland was a problem. I don't know what it is. It's because of the the stadium's a piece of crap. I always find it weird when you're watching on TV, when you get close to the wall, it's dark. Has anybody seen the ball? Yeah. It's a weird stadium. We all know a sewage problem. It's a gross stadium there. So, then again, we're not going to see it anymore, right? I think it's still the Yankees' last trip to Oakland. They're going to play in Sacramento next year. But there's a problem there. They generally play better in the playoffs at those two places. But Wu against Gill tonight. I'm on the under. I don't expect many runs to be scored. I'm on the under anyway. With in Seattle games here, but I think the Yankees will struggle to score runs tonight as well. Wu has been probably not talked about enough, but how good he is behind Castillo, Gilbert, Miller, and Kirby. I know I love somebody out there.
But I'll say this, George, I'm always looking at the home run numbers. It's very rare that I can get Judge at 3-1 or better or higher, and you can get that tonight. I've seen 310s, I've seen 325s, I've seen plus 300s. I know he's only got one in his last 16 or 17 games. He has homered a lot in Seattle. I know Wu is tough, but I had to jump on it, George. I don't get to play Judge much because I won't play guys who are getting like plus 200 or plus 185 for a homer. So you give me Judge in the 300s tonight, George, I'm going to take my shot with him late night up in the Pacific Northwest. So we're going to come back. We'll go through all this other baseball. Mets and Braves, of course, important. Diamondbacks important. They've lost 3 out of 4, and the Mets are only 1 game back in the second wild card now. Because the Diamondbacks have been losing some games. We have that. Detroit is suddenly very alive for the AL wild card. A lot going on. Carver and Lisi, Kurtz in for Joe. We're just getting going. Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night on the grid. Carver sans Lisi. Joe out on assignment. He's looking for Brian Kelly. He owes him some money after this past week. And a gutless, I know LSU won, but still a gutless performance against South Carolina. A game they really should have lost outright. And unfortunately, they did not. Also gutless from Billy Napier in Florida. So Joe's on his little Southeastern Conference road trip right now, trying to get everybody back in line. I think he was banged around in the NFL, too. But then again, it almost feels like who wasn't this past week. I always love George when, I mean, sometimes you get him on Monday, but some places wait until Tuesday morning for after the Monday night game to for the week to be officially complete. But I always love those headlines on, let's just say, Tuesday mornings, George, where it's like, Sportsbook have one of their best NFL weeks of all time. Sportsbooks do this. Everybody gets smashed at the window. Everybody, I mean, George, like, I mean, enough. Like, we know they win all the time anyway. Okay, let's just be fair here. They always get theirs. We don't need to highlight the fact that they hit over everybody over the head with a mallet this past weekend. We don't have to highlight it, George. Just give everybody a break. We get it. All right. They cleaned up this week. All the big favorites got smashed. Most of them lost outright. All the overs are no good. What the hell happened to scoring in this league too, George? What's going on? I saw a stat today, and I got to go find it for you so I get the exact numbers. 4 years ago, through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, there was like 120-ish touchdown passes thrown through the first 2 weeks of the season. So that's what, George, like 32 games? Somewhere around there. We do the math. We can figure all that out. 3 years ago, it was down to like 110-ish, 115-ish. Last year, it was down to 85. This year, George, through 2 weeks, mid-60s, the amount of touchdown pass, that's half, George, of 4 years ago. Where is the offense in this league? What happened?
I think you're looking at a couple of factors here as for why. One, well, the quarterback play, Mike, is not great. All right,
awful.
You go up and down. You go up and down the league here. I mean, there are a lot of bad, bad quarterbacks, right? Two is there's no such thing as training camp anymore, right? It's pretty much a daycare center there. You don't get 2-a-days. You don't practice all that much. I think September is starting a training camp, right? I think that's part of it. There are a lot of injuries. Everybody's hurt. I just saw a list here that somebody emailed me. I think ESPN or whatever. And it's like, oh my God. You're talking an all-star team upon all-star teams of guys who are out weeks. We're not just talking day-to-day, we're talking weeks. I think that hurts as well here. Maybe defenses have caught up a little bit. Maybe that's it. But I honestly don't think it is. Every rule is made for the passing game, right? Let's face it, the NFL wants to see 41-35 games. But I think it's a combination of injuries. I think it's a combination of training camp. It's just not training camp anymore. They're using this as sort of practice time because it's a 17-game season. So you can sort of take, the first four games a month you can take off, and just see what you got here. And the quarterback play is poor. We saw it today, right? No, Young's not the quarterback anymore. Carolina teams aren't going to be patient. Not that Andy Dalton's the answer to anybody, but I think it's a combination of all of this. But still, you mentioned, I don't know if it makes up 60 touchdown passes. A lot of rushing touchdowns. Maybe we're getting back to old-time football here, 80s and 90s. Run the ball.
It is tough to take, George, especially in our new day and age now of, obviously, legal sports books. A billion props per game, touchdowns, yardages, things like that. It's just basically frying pan, over the head, George. I mean, if you're playing, going after all the overs and the touchdowns, it's a bad scene for you right now. By the way, I just want to update you. Tampa now leads the Red Sox 5-2. I told everyone on Coast to Coast today, I didn't give the full home run list, but I said Brandon Lau was like 7-for-12 with 3 homers off of Nick Pivetta. I would add Brandon Lau to the card tonight. Well, they took Pivetta out, George, as Lau was coming up in the 5th inning. We were on break about 4 minutes ago, and I went, threw my hands in the air. I go, oh, come on. You can't leave him out there for one more hitter. Let Lau crank one into the right field seats for him. So they bring in Horn, the lefty, to face Lau. Didn't matter, George. He's still homered. How about that? Brandon Lau goes deep to make it 5-2 for the Rays. So we have that going. And you actually mentioned the Dodger-Marlin game, which was a heavy total to begin with today. I think it was 9.5 pregame, the Dodgers and the Marlins. You had a couple gas cans on the mound. Miller's been awful for the Dodgers. 7-6 Miami, top of the 5th. Live totals 18.5. in that game. And I got to tell you, George, that could be attainable. I mean, six more runs in that game with even more bad pitchers who are probably going to be trotting out there. Why not? And Ohtani did homer. Correct me if I'm wrong, George. 48, right? Was it 48 tonight for him? And they showed a replay of it before, George. He hit it like seven rows up in the upper deck of that dopey stadium, whatever they call it now, where the Marlins play down there in South Beach. Upper deck, seven rows up. It was an absolute blast for him. So what does he need? Two homers and three steals, George? Is that what he needs for? Two and two. So he needs 48. Two and two.
He's 48-48.
48-48. Okay.
He's going to do it. Matter of fact, when do they play at home?
They were just in Atlanta for four, so now they're here. I'd have to imagine, George, and it just so happens I have it in front of me because I try to stay on top of these things. I know when you're going to say it. They go home for the Rockies this weekend, so they have six at home, Rockies and Padres, and then they finish, George, in Colorado. Next weekend.
Well,
they got
if he needs
six
a home
Rocky
run, he'll
games
get it there.
Left. If he he'll have it before he gets there, George.
Agreed.
He'll have 50. He'll have 50 before he gets to Colorado.
Gets it against San Diego, right? They hate each other. San Diego be a nice, sometime.
I got to tell you, he only needs two more, George. Like, they got two more in Miami.
They got stolen bases.
And the three against the Rockies. I mean, the Rockies have a lot of bad pitching that'll be in Dodger Stadium this weekend. He's going to have it by the end of this week, at least the home run side of things. He's going to have by the end of this week. I would have to imagine.
It's a fantastic season that we've never seen before. 50-50. Unbelievable.
50-50. Carver and Lisi, George Kurtz in for Joe. We'll come back. We're rocking with you on a Tuesday night Sports Grid Radio, Series XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Marvin Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday night on the grid. Carver sans Lisi. Joe out, George Kurtz in. Joe will be back with me tomorrow night. And we'll go over several things with him, especially some college football stuff. Francisco Alvarez, George, goes deep for the Mets, who I believe have now extended to, what do you got for me here, George? 5-1 in the bottom of the fourth inning. So the Mets are up 5-1. The Braves are up 5-2 in Cincinnati against the Reds. They got first inning homers from Harris and Olsen. I saw Jorge Soler added one as well. So 5-2 going to the bottom of the fifth in that one. And the way that is shaking out right now, George, is Padres have the first wild card, pretty comfortable. Diamondbacks have the second wild card, only one up on the Mets, who are in the third slot, who are one up on the Braves. So two games separating those three teams for two spots right now in the National League.
Braves had better make hay, right? You play Cincinnati? And then you play Miami, because next week's rough. You play the Mets for three, which, listen, even team sweeps the over, they'll determine who gets in and who doesn't get in, right? But odds are it's a 2 out of 3. And they finish up against Kansas City. You know, and Kansas City might need those games. They might not.
Yeah.
You know, so that's interesting.
That's going to be tricky.
It could be fun. Listen, I think the Braves sort of need to be applauded, Mike, because with all the injury, it's ridiculous. I mean, I just mentioned the injuries in football. The Braves have been that team in baseball. It's like the San Fran 49ers, right? Oh, I mean, you're talking Todd Strider, Albies, Acuna, Riley, now Lopez, who went on, I think when we were on the show last week, he went on the IL. Just so many injuries. And I told you before, man, if you would have told me that Chris Sale would be the one healthy guy all season, what bridge do you want me to buy? Okay, that sort of thing. I mean, unbelievable. He saved their butts.
I
don't think they make it.
He's not only healthy. He's going to win the Cy Young and going away. Like, that's not even – I don't think anyone's close to him in the National League Cy Young race. I mean, I know I saw some people saying Skeens doesn't qualify, I guess, with the innings or whatever the deal is. And I'm not done with that. I saw people today still banging the drum that he might get it. I know me and you talked about this a little bit last week about the Skeens things. I know he's not. I know. I got more hope again when I saw Mish, I guess he was on the morning show today, say he thought that Skeens should win it as well. So, but
I don't see how you say that he should win it. Merrill's been there all year having a fantastic season for a team that's going to make the playoffs. I don't see how the argument is Skeens.
The playoff thing shouldn't matter. It's not an MVP award. The playoff thing shouldn't matter. It's the rookie of the year, not the rookie who is most important to his team that made the playoffs award. That's not the award. The award is the rookie of the year, and that is what it should be, whether your team is last, first, or wherever. I get everyone's – and I think that's what's pumped Merrill up here. Well, Padres are in a bubble, ran in the top wild card. They're going to make the playoffs. Okay, but that's not what the award is. And all these awards have now changed, George. This is not – this is every award in baseball, every award in NFL, the Heisman in college football. Everything is now, yeah, a team has to win too. That's now the side piece. Your team has to be good. It shouldn't be that way. That's not what the award is. It's the most outstanding rookie, not the most outstanding rookie.
I agree. I agree. But you're talking a guy who's batting 290, rookie, 290, 24 home runs, 86 RBI, 16 stolen bases. I mean, and played from day one. That's the big thing. He played from day one. He didn't show up in June. And don't get me wrong, by the way, Skeens is great. And he's when they'll let him pitch nine innings, he's must watch TV because he's going to have a no hitter eventually, maybe a perfect game, just a matter of time. And I love the Pirates' future. Skeens, Jones, Keller, get some hitting there. You're dangerous. All right. But he's not the rookie of the year. I don't even think this is close anymore.
I will continue to talk my position, George, and my ticket until I'm not able to anymore. I will continue to hold out hope and hope that all the voters in the National League have the same mindset as our own Scoop Mish, Craig Mish, here on Sports Grid, that Skeens should be the guy that wins the NL Rookie of the Year. That is what I'm hoping for, and not Churio. And I saw that point too. You know, you look at Churio from July 1st. Or June 1st, even, wherever it is. If not the same or better than Merrill in a lot of categories, George.
He figured it out.
He figured it out big time. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George in for Joe. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Great to have you aboard here. All right, George, a few things going on. First of all, let me get you updated. There's a bunch of games I haven't even mentioned to you yet when it comes to baseball. Full scoreboard here. Orioles continue to get completely shut down, although Snell is now out of the game, George, as they start the bottom of the seventh. So we'll see if fortunes can change with Santander leading off. What the hell happened to him, George? Santander was having an unbelievable year. September 1st came around. I mean, I think the guy barely has a hit this month. He's been so bad. Amazing how a lot of these guys on the Orioles have completely fallen. I know the pitching hasn't been good, but George, even their big bats have completely disappeared, it feels like, over the last 3 to 4 weeks.
I think you're looking for a person to blame as far as that. I mean, what happened to Rutschman? He hasn't hit. Forget September. He hasn't hit since summer started. Right? He fell apart.
That's true.
I mean, he fell apart. You know, he's really been bad. But your point is well taken here. They never had great pitching to begin with, but they had, you know, above average. And their hitting was supposed to be, okay, we'll hit our way. Right? With all these young players here, we're going to hit our way. And they did that for the first couple of months, but then that hitting went away. It just went away starting really around June 1st, summertime here. Santander, he carried them a long time, Mike, a long time. Yep. But I don't know, maybe it's the weight of the season. Maybe he's dealing with an injury that we don't know about. Maybe it's just a slump, all right? You know, Judge is in a slump now. Maybe he's getting out of it. So we hope. I know you certainly hope a lot more than others tonight for the home run prop. But, you know, it could just be that here. But a lot of the weight's been on his shoulders. He has been the one guy since opening day who has been the most consistent in the batter's box.
Certainly has so far for them. There's no doubt about that. So 4-0, we'll see if they can get something cooking. Still 5-2, Braves lead the Reds. That's in the end. They're going to the sixth. 7-6, Marlins, Dodgers. The Twins lead the Guardians 2-1. Now, the Twins, George, are hanging on for dear life. The Royals are within 1.5. I mean, excuse me, the Tigers are within 1.5 of them for the final spot in the AL. The Tigers last night got down 4-0 early on that Bobby Witt Grand Slam, and they fought came all the way back and won. Tonight it's 1-1 as they play in the top of the fourth in KC. So two scores to watch in the AL Central with those two. Mets now lead 5-1. We mentioned that. Phillies are up 1-0 on the Brewers on a Castellanos home run. A's lead the Cubbies 3-0. I'll tell you, George, the A's have a lot of guys that mash. You know, Rooker's got 37, 38 homers. Langeliers, I think, hit his 27th tonight. This Butler's an animal, too. He hit his 22nd or 23rd, and all of that is from, like, June 1st on for that kid. The A's are like a – you know what they're like, George? They're almost like a beer league softball team that just shows up. And it was like that back in the day, too. Like, I felt that way about them. When they used to play the Yankees, right, and they were really good in 99, 2000, 2001, those Giambi teams with Chavez, like, it was the same way. It was like, they showed up, they just bashed the hell out of you, and they actually had good pitching, of course, with Hudson and Zito and Mulder. This team doesn't exactly have that pitching. They're probably more along the lines of that, the beer league softball team that just shows up and tries to mash you.
And think what they might do next year, by the way. Yeah, I know we're getting our head around. I don't think they'll be a great team next year, but they're getting out of Oakland, where we know the ball does not travel, all right? And it's a big stadium. Right. I don't know what Sacramento's going to play like, but I don't think it'll play any worse than Oakland. So those beer league guys there might do some real mashing next year. You know, I saw it was on Twitter, X, whatever we're calling something, earlier today, a picture of Greg Luzinski when he was at the Chicago White Sox.
They'll call it.
You know, Greg Luzinski was like, oh, this guy was like an offensive lineman at the play. He had thighs the size of my chest. It was like unbelievable. This guy was a major league ball player. Listen, if you're younger, you don't know. He was a player. He's more well known for the Philadelphia Phillies, but played with the White Sox in the 80s.
Right. I mean, it is amazing for him. Pirates Cardinals 1-1 mid fourth, and the Blue Jays get a couple of runs in the first against the Rangers. Two teams, you talk about two disappointing years playing out the string. The Blue Jays and the Rangers would be that this week in Arlington, George. Those teams never got it going this year. That's for sure. Rangers, of course, won the World Series last year. We have four games that haven't started. Diamondbacks, Rockies, 840. We're going to get 840 East. Montgomery and Feltner. I told you earlier, Diamondbacks have lost 3 out of 4, including last night in Colorado. They could use a win. White Sox are in Anaheim against the Angels. God bless and good luck for that one. I guess if you like the over, you got a couple of guys out there, Martin and Canning, you could give up some runs, George. Good pitching matchup in San Diego. Hunter Brown and Michael King, Padres and the Astros. Pods are -120, even money for the Stros. And we mentioned the Yankees have heel tonight against Brian Wu, and that is a flat 7 in Seattle in terms of the total tonight. Some low totals tonight, George, except, of course, in Colorado. Never a low total there.
Although, you know, we don't get the crazy games in Colorado anymore that we used to, you know, back in the day. I mean, maybe it's because Colorado doesn't have the hitters that they used to have, right? There's no more Larry Walker, Heltons, Castillo, Bichette, and all that. They have some decent hitters, Tovar, Doyle, don't get me wrong. Ryan McMahon should have been traded at the deadline. Great move, Rockies. You could have got a small fortune for him, and you didn't want to move him.
I agree.
Just idiotic. That made no sense. I understand you don't want to trade somebody who's a franchise icon. McMahon's not that. He's just not that. He's a nice player, good ball player, good baseball player. But he's not someone you have to hold on to. I just thought that was silly here. Probably good for the teams that wanted him anyway. I know the Yankees were interested because he's flattened out since the deadline, even though he wanted to stay. That was also a big thing. He didn't want to go. So they have some hitters there, but nothing all that great. I'm seeing rain here, by the way, in Baltimore. Although I don't think it's going to delay the game, but the rain's coming down in Baltimore. I guess 8:30 on the East Coast here. I don't think it's going to affect any games, but we are expecting rain here overnight into tomorrow, for those who are wondering.
I mean, the one thing we'll say is they were flying along in that game, right, Jordan? I mean, they played basically, they're in the seventh in less than 2 hours, so they don't have much time left to finish it. I'm sure they'll be able to get it done here and finish it out. It doesn't look like... I'll check the radar during the next break. We'll see what we have on the
night. Car, a meteorologist.
Hey, we gotta get in there, George. We gotta make sure that we got everything covered for you. Ohtani's up, by the way, first and third, two outs. top six, down 7-6. So big spot for Ohtani here. He can obviously drive.
He struck out.
I'm way behind, George. I am way behind, George. That's like you pulled a Joe on me there, George. See, it's like you're.
I'm watching it through the app, by the way, so I'm behind too. This happened probably like a minute ago.
Oh well, on the app, the app's always about a minute and a half ahead of the television. Now there's you never are anywhere close to anything going on there. Yeah, he strikes out. That was actually the third out, George. I'm sorry, I thought there was two outs, one out there with Ohtani up, and there was not. Why did that close on me? The game started, George. I was trying to get one more play in on the Rocky game. Ian Happ homer for the Cubbies, as that will now make it 3-1. All right, we will, when we come back, George, because we only got about a minute here, we'll start to roll through some of these things from this weekend in the NFL. And then, as I did with you last week, second hour, we'll start to look at some of the games for this week, as I know the Jets and the Patriots will start week three on Thursday night at the Meadowlands, MetLife, for Snoopy. So we will get all of that cooking. I want to talk to you about, clearly, your Cowboys on Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more. We only kind of glanced over the Eagle game last night. I want to hear Matias gloat as his Falcons got themselves a win. So we'll give him a chance. Bryce Young already sent to the bench. You've got injuries all over the place. Niners, Rams, just riddled with injuries as they get ready to play this week. So a very interesting start so far to this NFL season, as we're only 2 weeks in. And we got two Monday night games next week, George, which I actually like. I like the two Monday night games.
Separate them.
You're right. I think 7 and 8:30 would have been better. 7:30 and 8:15 isn't great. 7 and 8:30, give us a nice little buffer, would have been a lot better. Carver, Leafy Sports Grid Radio, George and Michelle. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. All right, so the Eagles lose to the Falcons Monday night, 22-21. finish out week number two. Before we get into it further, George, of course, our great producer Matias is our resident Falcon fan here on CNL, and I didn't want to bother him last night. I know he obviously is working with Gabe, and he's got Gabe working for his Monday night show, so I didn't want to give him the business or anything, but it wasn't looking good for a while, Matias. But sure enough, and it was funny, right, Matias, before the game they were doing all the stories about what was it? Aikman was like, I talked to him before the game, and he's not 100%, but he is in the pocket, and he's not there, and Cousins is hurt. And there was moments there last night, Matias, where I was about to text you and say, yeah, they got to start thinking about Penix. But they ended up getting out of there, Matias, with a win.
You know, Mike, I thought the Falcons actually did a pretty good job staying in the game. Their defense kept them in the game. They were getting in the red zone, and it reminded me a lot of Matt Ryan-led Falcons. You know, you get to the red zone and you take field goals. Red zone efficiency was not there. But they were getting there, which is what they were not doing against Pittsburgh. So I always had my hopes up. They score a big touchdown in the second half with Mooney there. You know, they take a big lead, and then the Eagles come back, take the lead back. But I thought the Falcons played a pretty damn good game for the most part. You know, yeah, the Eagles had control in the fourth quarter until they screwed it up. And, you know, the Falcons had a 2 minute right there. And when you look at the 2 minute drill with Kirk Cousins, you know, it's not like there was nothing special about the victory. It's not like a receiver had to make a spectacular catch to get him down there. Relatively, Mooney was getting wide open in the corners. And then Drake London completely beat Slay and scored a wide open touchdown. You know, it wasn't like a big one-handed catch, like, oh, how amazing is this? It was just basic fundamental football. And they pulled the rug from underneath them, man. Barkley should have caught the ball, like you said. And, yeah, that's the best part about sports, right? You know, you got to close the deal.
You got to close the deal. And I thought the crazy part was, like you said, they didn't really do much all night. Yeah, they had some drives into Eagle territory. But for some reason, that last drive, it was like boom, 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 right, George? I mean, they were down the field. They hit Mooney, hit the Like, I think even Pitts had a catch, which is God. I mean, it's nice of him.
He had the first catch.
In my opinion, that was the
first
catch
of the drive. That was a great catch by him to start the drive by Pitts. So Pitts gets involved. Mooney gets involved. You get a lot. Like, I think that's the kind of drive, right, George, that people envisioned when they signed Cousins back in the offseason was, look, we're finally going to get all of our best guys involved. And you didn't see it. You finally saw it. And it was a game-winning drive, which was huge.
I think we were seeing, I think Cousins still has issues with the Achilles, right? I don't think that's completely healed. I think we forget that he tore it a couple of months after Aaron Rodgers. So the recovery time is going to be a little different for him. He can play, but he's still, you want to call it getting over some mental issues, because he got better as the game went along yesterday. I think he felt more comfortable. He's still not pushing off like he should, which is why some of those throws aren't getting to where they need to be, or at least not in the right area where they need to be. He's leaving yards on the field here, but I think he'll get better as the season goes on here. But there's a lot of pressure on him because we all know when you draft the quarterback early, you don't play well. Fans, media, we're all calling. All right, when's Penix playing? If he didn't play well last night, we'd already be calling for it today. All right, but he did play well last night. He sort of pushes that off now a couple of weeks. You know, he maybe gets away with it. I know they got Sunday night, you're playing, Kansas City, right? Is that the game there? So, good thing you won last night. Let's put it that way. Good thing you won.
They got a bear of a schedule coming up. You talk about good thing they won. Matias probably knows it off the top of his head. They play the Chiefs, and then what? They play what? Bucks, Saints, Matias? They have, like, who both are out to 2-0 starts. Like, they have a very crucial stretch here coming up.
Yeah. But you know what? No Pacheco for the Chiefs next week. It's a Sunday night football game. I think the Falcons are actually going to play pretty good.
It doesn't matter.
I wouldn't be completely shocked if the Falcons beat the Chiefs this Sunday. And you know what? Say less. I don't care what the Saints record is. The Falcons have a bone to pick with the Saints, and it's coming back from the last game of the season when they decided to run the ball in for no reason on the 1-yard line when they should have taken
I remember that.
Trust me.
That was the Winston play. The Jameson Winston play.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to play the Saints. And trust me, the Falcons can't wait to play the Saints either. I'm telling you right now, don't sleep on the Falcons when they play the Saints. They got a big bone to pick, and it's coming back from last year. That game's going to be a rough game. And, again, the Buccaneers, I don't care about the Buccaneers either. The Falcons, they beat the Chiefs.
Everybody doesn't care about the Bucs. Everybody dismissed the Bucs. They won last year the division. Everybody had your team already signed up. They're going to win the South. It's over. The Bucs are a good football team, and they've come in with a little bit of a chip. They're playing well. You know, they won a playoff game last year. They didn't play bad that game in Detroit. Now they go to Detroit and win in the regular season. They've already won a couple of games that, you know, look, they were should have beat Washington at home. I think that was expected. But going on the road to Detroit and winning, that's a big spot. And I'll say this too, Matias. Like, honestly, you brought up Pacheco. And George could probably agree with me, I think, on this. That Chief offense, and this is nothing against Pacheco. I think he's a very good player. He's a hard runner. That Chief offense is suited. It's very plug and play. And this kid Strong, who I know isn't as fast, they'll probably plug him in. And he'll do some of the same things. Maybe not as good. Pacheco's a little tougher. But, George, I don't expect much downgrade when they put this kid in. He'll probably the same thing, 60 to 70 yards. He'll catch a couple balls, and he'll probably score a touchdown.
I think you're probably right. We have to realize that no one's playing the run when they're going against Kansas City, right? You're not getting 8-man boxes there. You're getting 7-man, even 6-man boxes. Right. As people are worried about Mahomes and, of course, the speed. Remember, they're all worried about Rice and Worthy because they can run by everybody. So those safeties have to back up. Yeah, Chiefs will be okay. It's a loss. Don't get me wrong. It's a loss, but they'll be okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, fantasy owners, don't be running out to grab Kareem Hunt.
No. No. Tonight, that's right. Waiver wire night. Don't go get Kareem Hunt. I'd rather get the other kid. I'd probably stay away from the Chiefs backfield unless you had Pacheco, George, and you absolutely need it. Then that's when you need to do it. All right, Carver, Lisa, Sports Grid Radio, George, it's the show. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. All right, George, a few things. Number one, the Reds have gotten a couple runs. Marte, two-run double. So 5-4. Braves lead the Reds. They are now bottom six in Cincinnati, and the Reds still have that man on second with two outs. So a base hit can tie that game up. The Marlins have extended to now 9-6 over the Dodgers, going to the top of the seventh right now. So 9-6, they add a couple runs. I saw Stover with an RBI double. So Ohtani striking out with runners on the corners to end the last inning. Now they've moved on. Twins up 4-1 on the Guardians. Two-run homer by Castro in the eighth. So they're in the top of the ninth now. Cleveland will have one last shot to tie that one up. Mets have extended out to 6-1 over the Nationals. Still 1-1 Tigers-Royals, 1-1 Phillies-Brewers, 3-0 Jays, and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are underway, scoreless in Colorado. And they did not stop in Baltimore, George. They're in the bottom of the eighth. It is 4-0 Giants. The Orioles do finally have a man on base. They haven't had many of those tonight, and they have a 4-0 lead. They're trailing 4-0 with only four outs left to play with in that one. So lots of important baseball games here over the next. And I saw this in the chat, which is very true. When you get to 2 weeks left, George, you really can start to narrow down, like, all right, this team's got, these are the four series this team has left. Like, it's, you can really look at the schedule at that point and go, who do you have, who do you not? I just, the Tigers finish with the White Sox. They play three games with the White Sox to end the season. And if I'm Minnesota, you know, you need to get that 1.5 back out to the three area, because everyone in that division has smashed the White Sox all year. You know, they're whatever they, what are they, George? 30, what's the White Sox record right now? I'm sorry, 36 and a buck 15. And not many of those 36 wins have come in the division, as many games as they play against all of them. These teams, you want to know why, George, we actually have a year. The AL Central forever has been known as, like, you know, the lesser of the three divisions in the American League, right? I'm not wrong with that, George, right? Let's say over the last 20 years. The AL Central is usually the division that's kind of the afterthought of it. But this year, Cleveland, Kansas City, Minnesota, Detroit are all going to finish over 500. And a big part of that, George, is because they all got to smack the White Sox around all year.
Now, while that's true, they only get to play the White Sox about six more times than everybody else with the balanced schedule. It's not like it was, what, three, four years ago when they were playing them 19 times. It's more wins. It's more wins. I'm not gonna bitch about it. All right. I know. Listen, like I said, Yankee fan, we have nothing to bitch about. But I know I have heard some complaints from other teams. Well, if we got to play the White Sox, you know, we'd be better.
Stop.
Maybe. But who? What are you? Is Seattle going to complain? You got to play.
They've already.
Play the Angels. Angels suck
they've
too.
They've already watered down the schedule, George. I can't stand. I hate playing every team in the entire. I hate playing every team. I can't stand it. I hate the crossover with every National League and American League team. I liked strong division play. And you know what? If that happened this year, the old schedule, and all those teams played the White Sox 17, 18, 19 times, then they really would have three. They might have all four teams, George. They might have all three wild cards.
They might.
If they all got to play the White Sox that many times. With how good they
Dude,
are.
They would play him, what, six, seven more times? There are probably four or five more wins for each team, at least.
They might all win 85-plus if they all got That'd to play the White Sox 17 to 19 times, like the old days.
I think the Orioles would still get in, but they'd have the other spots. Orioles have 84 wins, right. So they'd probably still get in. But you just prorate those numbers.
I need the Orioles to get to 90. I know I'm going to lose that division bet, but I need them to at least win six more games. Are they really not going to win six more games? Come on.
Their schedule's not the way they've been playing. They've been, a 500 team now for 3 months.
Again, right? They play the Tigers again this weekend. And they play the Yankees.
They play San Fran, too, Detroit, the Yankees, and Minnesota.
So all teams that are
might win. That might need to win.
Minnesota's going to need those games. So think about that. Yep. Minnesota finishes with Baltimore. Detroit finishes with the White Sox. Now the AL East might be over that weekend too, which is good, you know, for Minnesota. Orioles might not have anything going on that weekend. Carver Delisi, Sports Grid Radio. We got another hour to go. 844-843-6879. Back here.